This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Deboho Mafodi. Sorry about that glitch. This is a beautiful day and a beautiful weather outside. I'm actually excited. It's actually a one-man show today on the studio. Unfortunately, my boy Bulelani couldn't be here today. He's sorting out some business stuff. They've got a big expo that they're doing tomorrow. So now he's actually working against time to actually be in studio. But like we've always had it and running here on 360 Biz, here on lockdown. My name is Deboho Mafodi. Like I've said, welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz and welcome to cliffcentral.com. You can join in on the discussion. We're on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook. Our Facebook is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. You can join in on the discussion as well on studio. Our studio line is 0861 555 189. I know that actually people might be thinking, or I'm actually calling out numbers in terms of the discussion, but I've not really said what we're talking about today. I'm actually talking about my most favorite discussion. Some of us, you know, that grew up in the township, Elokshini, Mkukwini, there's something that we've always had and grew up in, being spaza shops. That's where we actually find the most comfortability in terms of buying milk, buying bread, and it's the most convenient shops that we have. I know to some people that are listening, maybe they might be hearing this word for the first time, and some they might be familiar, but they've never really seen what this spaza shop is. I've posted one on Instagram and Facebook as well. If ever you want to follow me and get to see that, you can follow me. It's at Deboho Mafodi on Twitter, at Deboho Mafodi on Instagram, and it's at Deboho Mafodi on Twitter as well. We're on Facebook as well. It's Deboho Mafodi. More than anything, South Africa is one of the most sophisticated and promising emerging markets in the world, offering a unique combination of highly developed first world economics infrastructure with a vibrant emerging market economy, with more than 80% of businesses in South Africa that can be described as small business. I know that I'm running a small business myself, but however, we've got a unique set of small businesses which are called spaza shop. A spaza shop is an informal convenience shop business in South Africa, usually run from home. They also serve the purpose of supplementing household income of the owner, selling everyday small household items like bread, milk, and many other small things. In the recent years, there have been influx of foreigners coming into the townships, taking over spaza shops market, and that led to a lot of xenophobia and violence attacks in various townships across the country. I mean, the Department of Small Business had to intervene with that, and with a forum that was born called to regulate the industry. The South African Spaza Shop and Tech Shop Association. We have them in studio today. They're joining us on the discussion. We're going to be having as well a couple of people that have actually done the research as well, as far as spaza shop is concerned, over there. I'm going to be joined in on the line by Mr. Rory Lidman, who's a field research manager for Sustainability Livelihoods Foundation. They're based all the way in Cape Town. I've had the opportunity to actually talk to them. I'm actually looking forward to actually going to be having the discussion with them in studio. I'm also joined in by as well Mr. Sibusiso Sipeng, who's the CEO of Karotex, who's going to tell us more what is Karotex and how is Karotex associated with the industry of spaza shops as a whole. And I've got Mr. Abbas Mkizi, who's the chairperson of TBDSA, that is the Township Business Development of South Africa. I mean, these are big words that I've never really known existed, and all of these organizations. And more than anything, we've got a rose amongst the thorn, Umama, you know, who reminds me definitely of my mother, Mrs. Rose Nkosi, who is the president of SASTA. SASTA is the South African Spaza and Tech Shop Association. This is the discussion that we're having today. I'm actually looking forward to definitely engaging further. If ever you're out there listening or running a spaza shop, you're allowed to join in on the discussion. We want to hear some of the frustrations that you've had running this type of business. We want to hear some of the frustrations that you've had, definitely, I mean, with the attacks and the xenophobias taking place. And the most interesting thing is that, obvious part of the discussion that we're going to be having is that there's going to be an MOU that is getting signed. And I know that, you know, these people, I guess, in studio have actually been getting themselves up to be signing this MOU. I want to hear what is this MOU? What is it about? and what difference is it going to be bringing in the communities. But more than anything, let me take this opportunity to be welcoming my guest in studio while I know my good friend Duncan is trying to get hold of Rory, or he is online. Oh, okay, maybe let me start with Rory, who's all the way in Cape Town, who's the field research manager for Sustainability Livelihoods. Rory, how are you, my brother?
I'm great, Tabo. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, definitely. Thank you for joining us. Rory, do you want to take this opportunity to greet our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Okay, very, very briefly. I work for a company called Sustainable Livelihoods Foundation. We are a non-profit organization based in Cape Town. Essentially, the Sustainable Livelihoods Foundation, or SLF for short, we're a think tank that has been doing work in the field of informal economy studies and sort of development work for the past 6 years. We've done a lot of our work in key cities in the country, spread between. We started off in the Western Cape in mid 2010, and then we went through and did our work in Gauteng, two sites in Gauteng, actually, Ivory Park and Tembisa, and then we went through, did some work in KwaMashu, and we also recently last year did some work in the Free State in Thabong and Kutlanong and Meloding. So we've been doing, the foundation, if I had to explain to you what the foundation did, it's going to take me the entire week, but essentially our informal economy work we have been doing for the past 5 to 6 years in a number of provinces and in a number of different townships.
It's actually exciting to hear, Rory, that you actually do or have done a couple of work in the various townships across the country. So you'll definitely are the relevant person to be having the discussion that we're having, the discussion of PazaShop. Definitely. Thank you for joining us once more.
Thank you.
No, definitely. Let me move right along to my brother, Sibusiso Mseko, who's the CEO of Karatex. Mr. Sepeng, sorry, I don't know why I'm getting Mseko. I was actually talking to Mseko earlier, so I'm still caught up on that. How are you, my brother Sibusiso?
No, thank you very much for having us to your studio, and thank you to your listeners, and for giving us the opportunity to be speaking about this wonderful and exciting project that we are embarking on. I don't know whether just to give a bit of a background in terms of where do I come from. I come from a company called Karatex.
Okay.
Karatex is a privately owned company owned by only black entrepreneurs who have been in business for a number of years. We have business interest in many other sectors of business. For an example, we as Karatex, we've got a business in travel agency. We've got a business also in financial services, which is Sepcon. We've got a business in events and PR branding, which is under Scythecon. And we've got Isitle Solutions, which does training and development, basically. But our involvement in the PazaShop is that for a very long time, I personally have taken an interest in how the PazaShop sector has been doing. I mean, given the fact that this is a sector that has been in existence for many, many years, our grandparents used this PazaShop to take some of us to varsities and so forth. But in the past 8 to 10 years, we've been realizing that there's been somewhat a declining trend in terms of the sustainability of these PazaShops, more especially when it comes to our South African brothers and sisters who are running these PazaShops. And this decline is presumed to be the cause by the foreign migrants that have entered into the sector also. So our interest comes from that issue to say, these businesses have been in existence for a very, very long time. There is a way that we can work collectively to keep the PazaShops sustainable for everybody, including foreigners and South Africans.
No, that's quite a mouthful, Mr. Sibusiso. I must say, you guys are running quite a number of businesses. Maybe one must just come buy a steak, you see.
Maybe you should.
Maybe definitely. Actually, you must let me know if you're looking for an investor. Definitely looking at the good returns. Let me move right along. I've got Umama in studio. Mrs. Rose Nkosi. Mama, how are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
No, good, thanks, Mama. Don't be shy. Come close to the mic. Yes. Yeah, right, Mom?
Very well, I would say, even though, but I would still say I'm fine.
Oh, okay. Now, Mama, take this opportunity to usbulisela all the listeners that are listening. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Oh, I would say I greet every person who's listening. Hence, I am here in the studio, and I say I love you all. That is why we have so much walked a mile from 1997 to 2000 to say spazas must come together so that they can be able to buy in bulk, so that they can be able to lift one another and be businesses that are so grateful in the location, because we've got our parents, we've got our brothers, we've got our sisters disabled, and the grand people who cannot be able to go as far as the mall. And to my disturbance is that, first of all, when we were running these puzzles, as puzzles just came from the time whereby you felt, because I'm not working now anymore, or I'm retrenched, or maybe, you know, this has happened to me as a person who was at work, let me not just sit, let me just do something that will bring the life better for me, because I will, you know, buy this and add a markup and then make a business that will survive, I will survive from. But now the mall started coming, and we dropped a little bit. We felt, okay, let us push again. When we were trying to push, here came then the people that whom we call here TBDSA, whom are other country people now occupying in our spaces, which is our houses. Then it was tough. It was critical.
So now that you're no longer competing only with the malls that are in the township, now you're competing with the malls and these people that have taken over the market.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, you know, it was hectic. It was painful. Then, you know, customers were going to them, not us now, and we felt, no, this is too much. We must chase them away. We started doing that because we felt, no, we can't take this, let us push them away. that wording that used to, I won't pinpoint, but I would say, let us drive them to the sea. It was not the sea now. It was, no, let us drive them back to their places where they are coming from. But then we did, and they went away. They stayed.
Mama, you're speaking of foreigners, and the Somalians, yes, and the Ethiopians.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then when they were now at their space of Mayfair, then we said, oh God, now we are free. Let us trade. Then we started trying to trade. Oh my Lord, it was hectic. We did not have stock, because stock needs money to be able to have it. And as a leader, I'm also struggling, because I'm trying my best, but it cannot. Then there was this government that said, we will support you with some grants, the kickstart. The kickstart was not coming as soon as we can. And again, it was prolonging. And except that, even if you are given this 9,000, it's a very big hole. It goes deep to the hole. Then again, stock is still not right. And we could not make it. And now the point came where what is important, it's the consumer. The person who's supporting you. The person who are supporting them. Consumer came wanting a small item, maybe milk, maybe sugar. I don't have. I'm trying, but I don't have. Then I don't have, I don't have. Ayiko. It was killing consumers.
No, asibambe lapho, Mama. We'll definitely come back to it. Moving right along, we've got Mr. Abbas Mkize, who's the chairperson of the Township Business Development of South Africa. Mr. Abbas, how are you?
I'm okay, Deboho, and thanks to you for the opportunity and to the radio station, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
No, definitely. No, guys, I'm actually want to get definitely into an engagement with you. I love the fact that Mama has actually started this vehicle with force, you know, with a good fire. Mama, we need that fire. But maybe let me start, let me cross over all the way to Cape Town, to my brother, Rory Lebanon, who's actually done a couple of studies, like I've said, as far as township market is concerned. Lebanon, do you want to tell us quickly what is Sustainable Livelihood Foundation? Because I know that it's a new word to the gentlemen that I've got in studio here with Mama.
Okay. So just to repeat, we are a non-profit organization based in Cape Town. But we operate more on as a think tank. So we do a lot of data collection, a lot of research on the ground in communities, especially in townships and in informal settlements. But we also do a lot of, we produce a lot of high caliber academic publications with the aim of encouraging support for small business in more marginalized areas. We have four key pillars that we operate in. So the first one, which sort of runs our flagship informal economy work, that's called informality. We also do work in the space of ecology and society, which looks, if you think about Inyangas and Sangomas and traditional healers and how they need that the natural resources for cultural reasons, but also sometimes people like Rastas use it as a way to survive, and there's a need for them to use that in their daily lives. We've done work in that space and sort of the informal economy of resource harvesting. We've also done a lot of work in the health sector, sort of at a community engagement level. So working with issues like TB and HIV, but using drama and theater as a way to engage those very sensitive and very difficult issues in communities. And then we also have another two pillars that speak to engaging with issues such as education and also with citizens. So the work, the pillar that I work under, am I still on the air because it's very quiet in the background?
No, you're very much okay. We're listening.
the pillar that I work under, I've been working under for the past 6 years now, is informality. And we started doing work in one of our Western Cape sites in Delft, which is a very interesting site because it's a mixed race area. There's a lot of black and colored people living in Delft. It's one of the first post-apartheid settlements, mixed race settlements that actually came up sort of in the mid-90s. So when we went to Delft in 2010, we decided that we needed to understand what potential opportunities lie within a place like Delft, because clearly the formal area wasn't creating enough opportunities to soak up all the unemployed people in the area. And we went out there on bicycles and with survey tools like Garmin, and we basically mapped the entire area. Because we wanted to understand what businesses actually, what were people doing to survive. Like Sibo Siso and Mama Rosie, I think it is, mentioned, people do a lot of small things in the township in order to just get by. And we acknowledge that even that activity is a form of business, but not everybody sees it as a business. So often when our municipality or our government go in and they look for business, they won't necessarily pick up all these small businesses. So our idea, our intention was to go in there and to actually acknowledge that everybody doing something to put food on the table mattered, right? So we went in there in 2010, And we basically found in excess of 900 businesses, whereas previously the city had only recognized about 120 businesses. Mm-hmm. We've gone back now, fast forward 5 years, because we've done this work, like I said, all over the country. And we've actually found that the businesses in Delft have doubled. We've now found 1,700 plus businesses, but very small.
Okay, that's a big number in terms of difference, eh?
Big numbers, but it's basically doubled. But a lot of these businesses are tiny, because often they grow organically without the help of government. And often with for example, mama needs to support her grandson going to primary school. There's a couple of grants coming to family, so she takes some of the money and she goes and buys some products that she knows her neighbors will buy. And slowly but surely, over a short period of time, that becomes a business that she realizes, hey, people are supporting me. The difference between that, the way that mama would do that business, and often I say mama because often that's how South Africans have started in the informal grocery retail sector, which we know as the spaza shops. The difference between the way that mama would do her business and the way a lot of immigrant business owners operate is that the intention with mama was just to do something to support the family or to bring a little bit of extra money in. The way of the last 5 to 10 years, the way the spaza sector has now shifted has been towards a more sort of entrepreneurial way of doing this. This whole model has changed, where people come there with the intention of building a big business from the beginning. And in order to build a big business from the beginning, you need more than one person.
Yeah, but now, what you're saying, Rory, it's actually, a valid point. And for me, it's actually scary listening to this, because obviously we read newspapers, we watch TV, and we see all these attacks taking place in the township. And obviously, having grown up in the township myself, I see all these foreign-owned spaza shops that are taking over. But now, from what you're saying, it means it serves or it brings an unfair competitiveness from local-owned shops to foreign-owned shops, like you say, from the when they start obviously as big business. It means they started with capital and the ability to buy bulk, where else people like mama, they don't have capital to be competing at that level.
I think the first thing we need to start doing is like move away from just sort of speaking about South African and immigrant. I think we need to start thinking in terms of big and small.
Okay.
So the reality from what we have seen in the townships where we, and like I said, we've documented, I think, sat under collection, I have to actually look at the stats, but we've documented more than 10,000 businesses in the time we're doing this fine project, right, over the last, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just seeing this in one place in the Western Cape. We're seeing it in a number of other places all over the country. Now, in those places, when I talk about the small spaza shop, I'm speaking about one person that is behind the counter that's running a relatively small operation that has quite limited stock, doesn't often have a car, sometimes needs to go out for the taxi to collect stock and all those kinds of things. That person will often rely on family members to assist their business. Now, most of the people in the townships that we've gone out to and did this work in, most of the people that we find occupying that space are South African. But you also find Zimbabweans and Mozambicans who have small spaza shops. But the majority of the time, it is South Africans running that small spaza shop from home.
Mm.
When I talk about the large business, I'm talking about a spaza shop that physically you can see that the store is well stocked. You can see that it's well secured, and often they have resources and have access to vehicles that allow them to do the business maybe a bit more efficiently. They also have a much bigger network to tap into. So when you're able to take the running cost of the shop and break it down into its important bits, when you split that operation and you share it amongst a much larger network, it obviously then becomes easier for you to run that business more successfully. The challenge, though, is that now South Africans have woken up and realized, that is the way that in order to succeed in spaza shops.
To compete.
This is what we need to do. The problem is that, Teboho, you're never going to beat me at being me because I'm Rory, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to beat you at being you. Now suddenly South Africans are saying, hey, we must beat the immigrants at that way of doing spaza business. But the reality is that the last 5 years, they have done really, really well. And I don't think it's just about suddenly waking up and saying, oh, we must collect, you know, we must purchase collectively.
Mm.
But there is a need for us to start rethinking about policy that is actually supposed to be regulating that sector. We need to be thinking about how do you give the small business, whether South African or immigrant, how do you create a situation where that business can exist and can potentially move up? And in those businesses that have moved up and have become bigger, whether they're South African or not, how do we encourage them to become a bit more formalized? Not too formalized, because you don't want to kill the business.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, what I'm trying to say is that there's the lack of regulation of whatever policies exist in that sector. We need to start digging in there, because we're not looking at that.
Yeah.
If we look at the Shabin sector, on the other hand, the Shabin sector is frowned upon. Everybody's saying that all Shabins are bad. Now, having worked in informal liquor trading sector in the townships as well, I can tell you right now that not all Shabins are dens of inequity. And a lot of them have the capacity to add a lot of value in the places where they exist. But because we often paint them with the same brush, you know?
Yeah.
We say, all policy means that, they're all... But the point I'm going to make is that is the example of a sector where the government and where the state and policy is being driven so hard. And then on the flip side, you have a sector like a spaza shop where there's hardly any kind of regulation or any kind of monitoring at all.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, no, I think, Rory, because I'm running out of time. I need to move right along. Maybe let's make an agreement, me and you, that I'll set up another show. Where we can go into detail into some of the sectors that you guys have done a study on, whether being the Sangomas, whether being the Shebeens, and the spaza shops themselves, so that we actually break down some of the findings that you have, even if maybe we need to have a Somalian spaza shop owner in studio, or we even have, you know, some of, I'm sure, gentlemen, you'll be able to give me some of the spaza shop owners that you guys have.
We need to encourage a conversation with all stakeholders, because the reality is that we're talking about some sensitive information about realities that are actually happening on the ground that people often don't want to talk about or don't know how to talk about. But if we don't start talking about it, we're going to end up with a massive problem again. And
yeah,
I mean, everybody deserves a chance to do business in this country.
Yeah, no.
We also have a duty to make sure that everybody has a fair chance. So I think that's about starting that conversation. And government has a big role to play. They got to come to the party now, because they're not stepping foot into the township. They've forgotten about the township, or they're trying to hide it.
Yeah.
And they can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks a lot, Rory. We'll definitely put you keep in touch with you, and we'll have government in studio as well to actually answer for themselves. But awesome. Thanks a lot for your time, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, then.
Thanks for listening as well.
No, definitely.
Cheers.
That was Rory. He's actually quite passionate about that, the issue of spaza shops actually in the township. Mr. Bassa, you are one of the leaders, obviously, from the township, who is the chairperson of the Township Business Development of South Africa. I mean, how are you guys developing spaza shops? Because obviously, you know, right now we're struggling with capacity in terms of competing or getting spaza shops sustainable.
Okay, Teboh, I think let me first start by saying that Township Business Development in South Africa is a component of migrants traders. which include Somalian businesses,
okay.
Ethiopian businesses, Bangladeshian businesses, and Pakistanis.
Okay.
And it was born out of the xenophobic occurrences that took place last year.
The ones in KZN and
so forth. And to cut the long story short, listening also to Rory's research and so forth, I think the difference is that we are in studio today precisely because of the intervention by government.
Yes.
And it was government who identified our efforts at the time to say
government that. Being the Department of Small Business.
Yes.
Okay.
At that particular time, there was no direct door to migrants because they were so scattered, everyone doing their own thing and wanting to survive as they could. And as a result, not even our SASTA counterparts could have a robust discussion with a component that represents something within the migrants.
So now, would you tell me that, I mean, have they put themselves together now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So what happened is that that's precisely what we did.
Mm.
At the helm of the migrant component, there were organized structures like your Somali Community Board that has its footprint throughout the country.
Okay.
You had organizations from the Bangladesh community that also had some footprint in the whole country. You had people from Ethiopian communities that they have some footprint in some parts of the country, but they are all over the country.
Okay.
So these are the people who got together and identified with the fact that if we are serious about arresting the situations that are perpetrating these kinds of intolerances to accusations that are being unleashed on the foreign component from the townships that are causing this xenophobic attack, we have to be a voice together. And that is how Township Business Development South Africa was formed. And to that end, I think government is now at the center of arresting the situation, because a year later, here we are with SASTA and we are about to embark on an MOU that is going to assist us to look at a range of things in resolving issues that are not right within the sector. And at the end, to that end, promote healthy competition, revolutionize even the operations of spazas, take strength from each other's existence, and ensure maximum profitability for all involved. That is the route that we are taking. And I think we are very excited as components that you see us today in studio, where we now see a tomorrow within the spaza sector that is not only conducive to us spaza people of foreign origin or local origin or whatever else, but we are seeing each other now as a pillar of strength in addressing not only just our immediate problems as spaza owners, but we are providing a solution to the rest of societal challenges that are perpetuated by not addressing this particular issue of our existence. So to that end, we are very, very positive that we will contribute positively and in promoting government policies and regulations and bylaws and the laws of South Africa and the constitution of the country and so forth. At the end of it all, we are striving together for a better South Africa.
Yes, no, we definitely
through this.
We definitely are, Mama Rose. You're the president of Spaza Shops and Tech Shops. So, I mean, how exciting is it to you to actually discover that finally government is doing something? Government is actually standing up to take Spaza Shops and Tech Shops serious, to actually formalize the industry. for it to actually grow?
I'm very excited, and I would say I thank the young lady who is our minister, who had guards to say, no, it cannot work like this. Guys, come, let us talk. And we said, we don't want to. You talk to them alone. And then after that, you talk to us, then find out how do we feel. And then, but after all this discussion of separate discussion, then they realize whatever they found, you know, the finding out of this, the immigration group and our local one, then they said, no, now it's time to come and let us sit. Then she structured the task team from the government side to sit with us. No one was not there. Police department was there. The bylaws, JMPD, you know, seniors were there. Mm-hmm. All departments of the government were there to listen and find out and give us the, you know, the go ahead of saying, if you do this, if you can do this. Then it was from us to say, look, guys are from the country that you came from to our country. Number one, Rob Davis said to me when we were at Minister Rob Davis, the Minister of DTI. Yes, I'm sorry to just say yes, yeah. Yes. And then he said, launching at St. John's. Mm. And then he said, Mtata, now every person who is a trader must see that he register. So we said then, so we started registering. All our people are registered. All our people have cleared with SARS. Why not you? If then we are going to be together, we want to see you registering. We want to see you clearing with SARS. We want to see you banking, because our people take money from the banks and come and support you, buy from you. The next thing, you take our money, you take it to your own places or whatever, or under bed or whatever. You don't put it back. You need to plow it back to our bank. And then we need to see that happening. So you need to comply the bylaws. You need to, you know, respect. And from there, we started putting down all that, and the government was with us. The government could see that it's done. Then now it was now supposed now to come and then see that if then we come together to buy in bulk together, because remember, we said we, this the South African spazas, we had no money. Even if they are gone, we could not buy this bulk. But now when we meet with them, because they are buying, we can be able to buy in bulk, you know, together. Because what we have realized, if the TBDSA people are supported by the international, let us use that international support with us in South Africa, because they are in our country. Let us eat together. Let us spread this together. Let us buy the bulk together. Let us see the mini warehouse, because we see they've got those little mini warehouses. Let us see us together with them formulating those mini warehouses. Let us see our boy child working, because can you see how great they are? They are busy with Nyawupe that we don't know being called what. They must come and be part of the businesses and be rehabilitated by the very, you know, together. Let us see that is done now. To my, you know, I don't know how to. I'm so excited.
I can hear, Mama, that you're very excited. To my suffering,
all the years, then we met with Carotex. Because the government was delaying with this support of Kickstart that our minister said they are going to give us. They were delaying and delaying. It kills us, this puzzle traders, because every day, you must know, you are selling to survive. You are selling to make a change of some living. Now you are waiting for someone to bring you something. And it's not happening now. It's not happening. We don't even know. We still say, it's going to come. Carotex said, I am here. I will want to see the basic items that you normally, you know, sell in your shop. In the morning, when a person says, I want tea, I want coffee, I want sugar, I want milk, I want bread, we will make a point to see that we get the stock for you for that. No. And let us prove our point. You know, for all these years, we could not even do any events for ourselves, any conferences for ourselves, because there was no money as the organization as well. If your member cannot be able to survive well, how can he support the organization? Yes, the organization is there, but it's limited. Now Karatek said, I'm here for you.
No, let Karatek speak for themselves, eh? Yes. Karatek. We've got the CEO, my man. You're doing the hiring and the firing. Yeah? You're making the decision. So tell us about the intervention that you did with the township shops.
Well, thank you once again, Teboho. Yeah, my comrade Mama here has spoken a mouthful. In terms of what Karatex came in and did, we came in when actually the two parties, being TBDSA and SASTA, they had not found each other. They had not found a way to work together.
Okay.
And they were not in agreement when we met with them. And then fortunately, we managed to put oil and water together to make a wonderful concoction that people will be seeing and enjoying in the future. What we as Karatex, the role that we have played is that because of the research that we've also done, and also just to touch on the previous caller that
Rory,
yes, yeah. We actually are aware of their NPO. We do have some of their research that they have done,
okay.
Which shows that about 3 years back they did a research which found 1,136 Spaza shops, which were only servicing 98,000 households, which meant that one Spaza was servicing 86 households. So you can see as to the actual need for this for the Spazas, even though they are dying, but there is actually a need for them to be capacitated. But to come back to the issue of capacitating, when we met TBDSA and SASTA, we said to them, can we stop this thing of when we go to government, can we stop this thing of mpempe? You know, you go to government and you knock on the doors and kikopa chelete all the time.
Yes.
We can't say that we are business people and yet we forever...
You're busy asking for handouts.
You know what I mean,
Mami. That's true.
So we held workshops with SASTA individually, mm-hmm. and also to TBDSA, where we spoke to them about the power that they have collectively as small businesses that can come together and build something that they might not even necessarily need to put in money, mm-hmm. into what they're trying to achieve. We further then showed them as Karatex that as a Spaza shop, we should not only focus on grocery selling. You know, when you look into why most businesses they fail,
mm-hmm.
is that because of we never look into how best we can diversify our businesses.
No, that is true.
Yeah, we get into a business and I tell myself I'm going to sell this bottle of water, mm-hmm. and that's it. It ends there.
Yeah.
We went into these two groupings and we said to them, there are more opportunities that are there that you guys are not looking into. Like, for an example, when an ordinary person walks into a Spaza and gives you money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that money go to? It goes into a bank. Now tell me, isn't that an opportunity on its own? Why do I say isn't that an opportunity? Our government has been making pronouncements to say that it is about time that we look into owning our own bank.
Yeah, cooperative banks.
Cooperative banks,
yes,
and so forth.
Last time I had a lady that is running. Yeah.
Yes. So imagine if Spaza shops were to collectively come together.
Wow, that is
and
big business.
And then start looking at, if I collect this 100 rands that is being spent in my Spaza shop in a week, in a year how much that 100 rands would have made.
And
those are the little things that we started showing the spaza shops. But then we further said to them, in the activities of your businesses,
mm-hmm.
right, there is this business value chain that you guys are missing out.
I know.
This business value chain that you are missing out is not only the groceries that you are selling, my people. It is, you know, you take your 100 rands and you go and you give it to independent cash and carry, or you go give it to Unilever. Why can't you be part and parcel and owners of independent cash and carries, or Unilever's, or so forth and so forth? So this is the approach that we brought into this whole oil and water that could not mix together. And when they realized it, oil and water, then they mixed.
Mr. Sipeng, you're actually exciting me in the last hour. But now we've got 3 minutes to wrap up. Quickly tell us about the MOU that you're signing,
okay,
and what is happening with the Minister of Small Business.
Okay. In reality, it's not actually the MOU.
Okay.
It's an MOA.
Okay.
The MOA, it is there to outline the number of issues that we have identified that we will be embarking on.
Okay.
Number one, my colleague alluded, Abbas, that with this fighting that has happened, we needed to firstly create a social cohesion between foreigners and South Africans. Now we had to identify a collective vehicle, which that vehicle is also going to be announced at a gala dinner that we are hosting this coming Thursday on the 31st. And let me tell you, I know I'm left with 3 minutes. That gala dinner, government did not support us. We put our own money to do the gala dinner.
That is
so
good.
Yes, as government, as business people, we showed government that we are capable of doing things for ourselves. But what we did from showing the two parties that over and above the bulk buying that you can do, we can also be the ones that starts the journey of establishing our own bank. This bank, we can start it through our outlets, which are the spaza shops. But not only that, when Tebogo, there's also your societies, your grocery societies. I belong to a grocery society.
Yes.
And I said to them, you know, as if we work collectively, we've spoken to some grocery societies who are willing to jump on board and support you as spazas, so that they don't go and buy at Pick and Pay, they don't go and buy at Checkers, we must deal with this problem.
Mr. Sipeng, let's conclude on this. Go sign the MOU, and after the MOU, we come back. Because right now, I mean, I wish we had 2 hours on the show. You go sign the MOU, then from there, now once you've signed the MOU, we come back, we discuss action going forward to say how is that. So now the Galatina, is it open to the public?
The Galatina is open to all spaza shops owners and interested stakeholders.
Where do they get more information?
They can contact us, Carotex offices.
Okay.
Let me just get our contact number. They can ask for Bafana Mudibedi, who is the gentleman that is doing the registration for the people that are coming.
Okay.
Our contact numbers are
011-472-8453.
011-472-8453.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the show. I'm looking forward to actually getting now into further the discussion once you guys have signed the MOU and we are ready to actually start doing the work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
No, definitely. So much. And this is what we had for you today on here, right here on 360 Biz. Definitely go, to the website www.cliffcentral.com and download the app as well. Definitely, I mean, this is a podcast that you want to listen to. Make the mama next door, the one that is running this spaza shop, to definitely listen to the podcast. We'll revisit the discussion once they've signed the MOU again. This is all that we had for you today. Catch us again next week, same time, right here on Cliff Central. My name is Deboho Mafodi. I'm out.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.